Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
We currently, as we have talked earlier, we have a team who is overseas, who is giving ministry to refugees of the war in Ukraine. And as with any conflict in the Middle East, and I would venture that you're kind of like me, it kind of quickens our spirits to look towards heaven and ask this simple question. I wonder if this is it. Has anybody had that go through your mind? I wonder if we're getting close. Well, it's a good reminder. And, you know, people, I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, hey, look, we kind of want to know with everything that's going on, and we're seeing, you know, possible, you know, attacks from Israel from the north and the south and from the east. And what do these things, is this the time? And my answer almost always when someone comes up to me and says, we want your take, is this the time? Here's my general answer. Are you ready? Because the answer for us, it's not for us to know the times and the seasons. In fact, Jesus told us, no man knows that. We're not going to know. We can know the season, and certainly we are in the season. I don't know what else you need to know that we are in the last days. I really don't know. And if you're waiting, if you're of that particular mindset to say, you know what, I want to live right up into the end, and then I'll get right with the Lord right when I know that time's about out, you're a special kind of fool. Seriously. And let's just all be very honest here. You are missing out in the opportunity of the relationship of forever. Why would you put that off? As we've got several folks, and happy anniversary to a lot of these individuals who've had these tremendously wonderful, you know, long celebrating 50 years and 52 years, and praise God for those anniversaries. And when I talk to people who fall in love like that, and sometimes they'll say, boy, I wish I would have just even met you sooner. Imagine the love of, you know, their husbands, I just gave you a really good opportunity to nudge your wife. Say, that's what I meant, baby, yeah. You missed it. I tried. I'm a good wingman. Okay. I tried. I'm a very good wingman. My general response is, are you ready? This brings us, ironically, to the last few chapters of the book of Daniel. You know, we go through the first six chapters of Daniel, and we're having history, and we're having stuff, and then we get to chapter 7, and we're like, did he just get a really bad pizza? What is going on? All of a sudden, it gets extremely complicated, and there's lots of imagery. And we see timelines kind of messed up, and we see some things past, and we see some things future. We see the laying out of amazing world events that actually happen in stunning accuracy. And then we get the beginning to look that after these earthly kingdoms is going to come a heavenly kingdom that will be established forever. And so, you know, a couple of interesting facts about the book of Daniel, which are quite interesting. When you read and you study the book of Daniel, it begins and it ends in Hebrew, in the language of Hebrew. But then in the middle part, the chapters that we've been kind of looking in and studying, it's written in Aramaic. Okay, and so there's also a parallel. We studied chapter 4 and 5, and both chapters 4 and 5 were about earthly kings who exalted themselves above God. One of them humbled himself, and then Belshazzar, you know, did the Scooby-Doo with the writing on the wall. He didn't. We see chapters 3 and 6 line up, the fiery furnace and the den of lions. How standing for God and resisting the worldly culture doesn't exempt you from trials and sufferings, but God will in fact see us through. In fact, he will get the glory. In chapters 2 and 7, we begin with Nebuchadnezzar having a dream, and now we, chapter 7, Daniel has a dream. And they have dreams of earthly kingdoms that rise and fall, but are ultimately subdued by God's eternal kingdom. The clear message throughout this book is the conflict of man's resistance to God's authority and his kingdom But ultimately, God is victorious. And so God's people, we and Daniel's and Daniel's friends are to trust and faithfully wait for him to bring vindication and deliverance. And so in this section, this middle section in Aramaic, it tells us these wonderful stories. But then now at the end, we kind of, after this dream that Daniel has, chapters 8 through 12, are back into Hebrew. And they're looking ahead. They're looking through earthly kingdoms as well as through God's ultimate deliverance. And some of the neat structure of this awesome, powerful, and insightful, and often, I will admit, somewhat confusing book is the chronology gets jumbled up at time. It's great for Bible studies, but it's really difficult for sermons. And some want me to teach on the meaning of every single thing, and ultimately the big million-dollar question, who is the Antichrist and when will Christ return? And there's endless debate as to what the specific images refer to, and it is not my intent to stray you towards my thoughts or my feelings. Jesus told us that no man will know the day or the hour, but I believe we can recognize the season, and we will be wise to live our lives prepared. Amen. And so if you're like me, reading through prophetic literature is often confusing and sometimes disturbing, but it should always be encouraging because we know that God is in control. So you're in good company because we read something here in Daniel chapter 7, verse 15. Here's Daniel having this dream. Daniel says, as for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was what, gang? Anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. As we consider end times, it does mess with us. It gives us this thing. Now, this is the human response, but what we're going to see from Daniel is some pretty amazing advice that I think that we can put into practice in our lives today and throughout this week and throughout the next weeks of our lives up until Christ's return. God often does things that I don't understand. God often does things that confound me, that I just don't grasp. I worship a God that, quite frankly, is greater than my mind to conceive. And yet that irritates some. I actually talk to people who refuse to worship God because he's beyond their understanding. So you want a God that's less than you? You got one. Our God is greater than our understanding. Our God is greater than our comprehension. Some are in so much need of control that they can only have faith in things that they totally understand. And by the way, how did that work for Nebuchadnezzar and how did that work for Belshazzar? Thank you. Not too good is right. Two dreams about eternal kingdoms and when this happens. But the focus are some great nuggets that I will help, that I believe will help us sort out how we are to respond. So Daniel chapter 8, after this vision that Daniel has, which please read on your own this week, and I hope you've read even coming in, Daniel chapter 7, this amazing dream of all of these visions, of all of these kingdoms and these things that are going to happen. Daniel chapter 8, he has a vision that builds on this previous vision of a ram and a goat and all these horns, and in the end, that's going to come. And look at Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 says, in the first year of Darius, the son of a weird name, a descendant of Mede, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the book of years that according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Now, what does this mean? Why are you pointing to this scripture? This is an odd scripture. So Daniel has some understanding. He has some visions. He has some dreams, and he doesn't know what to do. How does Daniel process things in life that bring him confusion and anxiety? He goes to the word. First point today is to let God's word give you guidance. Before he went and looked at everyone else, where did he go? He went to look to the words of the prophet that were given to Jeremiah. Daniel begins to look in, and that's something where I believe we should as well. Daniel consults God's word and asks God, how long? The answer immediately comes that these 70 years will be lengthened due to Israel's sin and rebellion and lengthened. And if we dive into these points, if we go to truth, I have to ask you, where do you go for truth? Because if you say it's Fox News or CNN, you're only getting half the picture. You're not getting the behind the scenes. You're not getting the intent of the author of the universe. What is your source of truth? And by the way, this is one of the debates for the ages. Cultural quick point. Institutional trust is very low right now. If you're like me and you've seen like some of these responses, these anti-Semitic responses that are happening on college campuses that just shock you. That just shock you. How people literally have gone and been so radicalized to certain levels. Media, government. There is such a distrust in these institutions. For what happened through the pandemic, and again, not taking positions, trust in the medical system is at an all-time low. Trust through the Black Lives Matter, all of that stuff. Trust in police is at a low. Trust in education is an all-time low. The institutions have been attacked. Institutional trust in the church is at an all-time low. We currently have the largest number of people we call the nuns, not N-U-N-S, but the N-O-N-E-S, the nuns. Those are individuals who have no religious affiliation. It is the largest in our nation's history right now. Why? Because institutional trust has been eroded. Which adds the question, what can you trust? Okay? The information age has revealed a lot of things that the prior to the age of cell phones and social media and all these other things, it has revealed that there's a lot of information that sometimes is covered up or sometimes is glossed over, that there are sometimes narratives that are created and pushed. They're used by your tribe. They're used against you. They used to be that the source of trust, if we go back and we look throughout the history of mankind, it was the political or your tribal region, then it was religion, and then it was science. And now we have moved on from science. By the way, gang, we are no longer in the age that science equates to truth. We are now into the feelings, which is subjective. Thus, I can look and say, I feel something and that is against the scientific observations, and that has to become fact. Why? It is a sign of the times that we are searching as a culture, looking for truth. A lot of people will say, you know, what is my, they have their favorite TV preacher or their favorite YouTube person or their favorite author. What do they say? And upon what they say, that's what I try to believe. And here's what I want to get to. Has God's word lost its place of influence in your life? And I think what we're seeing from Daniel is something pretty powerful. Let God's word give guidance. By the way, it's still true. And it still gives a greater understanding. God's word continues to give me the best insight into my heart, the best insight into world events, the best insight into actually what's going to come. That's the beautiful thing when you understand prophecy. My heavens. The coming of Jesus, as we're getting ready to celebrate Advent, all the prophecies that went and were foretelling Jesus coming, and yet he fulfilled them all, it's profound. Do not forsake the importance of Holy Scripture to help us in life's difficult circumstances. So when hard times come, don't just look to Dave Ramsey. Don't just look to Max Lucado. Don't just look to whoever has your ear. I beg you, they may be great. They may be tools in the hand of God, but please don't stop going to God's word. It's interesting that the prophets say that in the last days there's going to be a famine. And the famine is not for food. The famine is not for water. The famine is for hearing of the word of the Lord. The famine is not the word of the Lord. The famine is for the hearing of the word in the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you, we are in that time. Because church in 2023, nobody does their homework. We can say all day long, we can give you lectionary scriptures, we can give you all kinds. And what happens? We come to church so that we pay a guy to be spiritual for us so we don't have a relationship with God ourselves. And it got quiet in the room. Here, preacher, why are you being like this today? Because I desperately want you to wake up. I desperately want us to wake up and understand that each of us has been offered, every one of us has been offered the ability to have a relationship with the God of the universe, to know him intimately, and nothing will sustain you like that relationship. Daniel conformed his life to Scripture, not Scripture to his life. So Daniel looked to the Scriptures for understanding. He looked to the prophetic word revealed to have an understanding of what was going to happen, of what was going to come. At the same time, Daniel, he also, what we learned earlier is that he held on to God's word even in the midst of a culture that rejected it. Daniel didn't throw out the parts of judgment that he was uncomfortable with. So Daniel has a great track record. He wanted Scripture to be living within his life, and he saw Scripture as powerful and able to offer direction in times of confusion. My dear precious church family, whom I love deeply, the same is offered to each one of us. God has given us his word. God has given us his spirit so that we can understand. Let's go on and let's find. So looking at God's word is important. That's something that can help us to understanding these times, understanding these seasons. Let's go on to Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 through 7. Then I, Daniel, turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. By the way, where is Daniel right now? He's in Babylon. He's in captivity. He has been thrown into a den of lions and been saved. He has been in the crosshairs. And here he's saying, oh, look here, I'm praying and I'm calling God, the one who allowed me to go through a whole bunch of stuff. I'm calling him faithful and steadfast and loving. That's pretty good. He says, O Lord God, the great awesome who keeps covenant and steadfast love and keeps those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and to our fathers, and to all the people of the land. So, what's my second point? My first point was to get into God's word. Look to God's word for truth. Don't forget that God's word has truth for us, but God's word sometimes is hard to understand, and it's hard to understand how to apply. So point number two is this: talk to the author about his book. You know how cool it is that every now and then they'll have book signings, and you can go and you can meet the author. And what's really great is when you talk and you have an encounter. Like sometimes I've gone to these events, actually this conference, a gentleman wrote a book, and in this book he was talking about some advice to the church, and he broke it into like 13 principles, and he got up and he talked to us for an hour about what was happening in writing the book. And he talked about his personal struggles and how during COVID he got in this horrible depression and was thinking about just quitting ministry. And then he got this understanding that he needed to not be focused on himself, but to focus on someone else. And so he reached out to a pastor who was in Africa, and they started to figure out this whole Zoom thing that was just coming on the scene, and they developed this network. And so reading the book was kind of flat. Knowing the author made it come to life. Come on, somebody. A lot of us read the book as if it's words on a page or it's good moral advice. It will be flat. What if I told you you could know the author? What if I told you you could talk with the, you could have a dialogue daily with the author? And yes, I know before we have some academics jump down my throat and say, God used human beings to write it. Yes, God used human beings to write it, but the words were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that same Holy Spirit resides in us. And so we literally can have a conversation with the author about the word, and it can become life to us. Oh, come on, church family. This is better than y'all responding. I'm telling you that. Look, how do we do these? You know, there are times that I'll get a word or I'll be a text and I'm thinking, how in the world, God, can I preach this text? How can I share this effectively and passionately? And those are conversations that I have with God to say, how do you want this conveyed? Talk to the author about his book. John 14:25-27. Jesus is talking with his earthly followers. And if you know the context of John 14, he's telling them not to let their hearts be troubled, to trust in God, to trust in him, because he's getting ready to conclude his ministry time here on earth. This is the beginning of some pretty amazing things. And as Jesus is having this communication, this kind of final last instructions with his disciples, he drops this. He says, these things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you. In other words, hey, I ain't going to be with you like this forever. In fact, there's a change of administration coming. And here's what I want you to know, verse 26. But the what, gang? And who is the helper? Next three words. Whom the Father will send in my name. What's he going to do? He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. In other words, the Holy Spirit should be an active part in our understanding of God's word. And it brings us the recollection of God's word. So Daniel, when he's sitting here and he doesn't get things don't add up, he asks God some questions. And we too can ask God questions. I like that Daniel shows that he was anxious. He wasn't perfect. We know that the disciples, after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we read that they had times where they had fear. They had times where they struggled with their emotions. They weren't perfect people. But they had encounters as they yielded to God's Spirit and as they sought him that he was faithful. Let's go on here, verse 20-23 of chapter 9. Daniel says, well, I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sins of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God. While I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, oh, Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. So Daniel postured himself in a specific way. He wasn't in the Pacific Ocean. He postured himself in a specific way that seemed to curry God's favor and God's response. Well, if Daniel did that, I would sure like to do that. You know that there's a scripture that says God opposes the, remember who God opposes? A proud. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Good job. Everybody gets their Bible star today. This is something our culture has walked away from. This is something our culture has walked away from. Gang, right now, I hope you understand. Those of you who have influence to your grandchildren, you have influence to your, you know, your children, to the next generation, we celebrate brashness, and we celebrate vanity. We celebrate things that aren't really great attributes according to God. God gives grace to the proud. God gives grace to the humble, okay? He resists the proud. So my third point for us is be humble and repentant. Be humble and repent. In other words, I like how Daniel prays. Daniel prays that that we have sinned, you know? He makes himself this part. He's not looking and saying, hey, everyone else is wrong and I'm right, which is kind of how our world operates right now. Pass the buck, pass the buck, pass the buck. He says, here's the deal. God, I need some help. And yes, there are messed up people, but I'm one of them. And imagine if, you know, that's what really harms the church from being effective. This is one of the reasons when you lean into the survey. I was listening at the Spire conference to the speaker from Pew Research, and she did an amazing presentation as to why young people, in other words, these 25 and down, why they don't want anything to do with the church. And the answer is, they're totally unrelatable. They see the church as a bunch of proud, understanding, unfeeling people. Where have we lost the place where we are all broken? You know, we're blessed. Aren't we blessed? Okay, yes, we are blessed, but you're still a mess. And I am blessed. And I'm thankful that I'm blessed. And I shouldn't take my blessings and walk around like, I got everything I need. Nope. If I want to curry God's favor, I need to remain broken and humble. I need to be penitent before God. We need to repent. We need to be repentant. We need to embrace that. Because I would probably say that if I leaned in and I started going through all of the sins, I mean, Jesus said, look, things, if you thunk it, you done it, right? How many of you have been perfect this week? Oh, perfect choir people, right? Right. How many of us walk in humility versus walking in pride and arrogance? And I get it. I have this conversation all the time that, yeah, we ought to be proud. We ought to work very diligently and work very hard, but we shouldn't be arrogant. And we shouldn't be full of pride, and pride shouldn't have us. Do we pray in judgment or in relational confession? Lord, he doesn't, you know, sometimes we pray, Lord, keep us away from those people. Lord, judge them. They are so evil. Lord, forgive them. Perhaps we ought to adopt that, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm blessed, but I'm a mess. God, help us. Daniel, his words were, Lord, forgive us. We need you. Use me. Even though he was an upright man, and even though an argument could be made, he was the most upright man of this age that we know. And yet he was still humble. And he was willing to get his feet dirty and not compromise God's word. And thus God used him as a man for the job. And my final thought for us today. So in light of looking to God's word, And in light of having a conversation and developing a relationship with the author, and in doing so, being humble and embracing this penitent posture where we repent and we keep short lists. Here's my third point when we look at the world today and say, what does all this mean? My fourth point today is this. Time is short. Get busy. Time is short. Going back to my earlier point, if you're waiting, I just don't know what in the world you're waiting for. I can't figure it out. See, we need to be looking to God's word for insight into the time. We need to be praying and interceding, praying for the peace of Jerusalem, as Psalm 122, 6 tells us that we've seen this week. We need to be bringing a biblical perspective to events around us. A biblical worldview is not inconsistent with intellectual honesty. No matter what the modern philosophy of higher education is, a biblical worldview spurned the scientific revolution. By the way, I mean, we could go through, and we are going to have conversations coming up in several weeks about the relationship between science and religion, how science affirms and continues to push the things that God said. So a biblical worldview, people don't understand what a biblical worldview is because it's been misconstrued. So we need to embrace and to have one and to bring a biblical perspective to the world events around us. And that will not allow us to be jerks, but rather we will be humble. We will be a non-anxious, loving presence in the midst of the chaos around us. And the final thing that I say, time is short, get busy, is we need to be sharing the gospel through words and through deeds. Now, like never before, we have an opportunity to be this thing. You know, Jesus was the Word made flesh. And I know we can't attain to the stature of Christ. I get it. We're moving. But we need to do our best to let God's Word be flesh in our lives. To let God's Word come to life. That we apply it. Time is short. Get busy. Stand to your feet. Let's pray.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.